Gentlemen, good evening, good evening. We are learning tonight. Simon Tov Kuf Yud Ches, Seif Beis, in Seif Gimel Mitz Hashem. Followed by a few words on the parsha. Is it right, Stephen? 20 past? So let us get through Seif Beis and Seif Gimel tonight, which is the following halachas. Seif Beis is the following halacha. Also le'Yisrael ho'itzi shum dovo b'yom tov le'tzoich en yudi. Let me say that again. Also it is prohibited. Le'Yisrael for a yid, for a Jew, le'hoitzi, to carry shum dovo, any item, b'yom tov, yom tov, le'tzoich, for the purpose of en yudi of a goy. So, we have learned previously that you may carry items on yom tov if it is
for the needs.
The pasuk, however, excludes and says you may carry lochem for yourselves. You may do melochas for yourselves, excluding a goy, which means, and I'm going to go straight to the Mishnah over here, bottom line, in Seif Katan Yud Beis, shum dava, roitze loyma, afilu even, and that's the chiddush, afilu shel oichel nefesh, even if it's for physical sustenance, if it's for food. So normally we learned that any carrying which is done letzoyrich, as we've been discussing the entire week, whenever you're carrying letzoyrich for a purpose, you may. So here is the exception that if you're carrying for a goy, even if it's for neat, for tzoychel nefesh, so say the goy is desperate for his cholent, you know, it happens, and you want to carry the cholent to the goy, you may not, because it's a tzoychel nefesh, but it's for the goy. And therefore, it's also, the pasuk specifically excludes oichel nefesh of a goy. Yeah. Continues the Rama, avol, but, mutar lishloach loy, it is allowed, you are allowed, top of page 282, mutar lishloach loy aledein yudi, what you may do, you may want to send, I don't know if Rabbi Yosef is going to think that's a chiddush or not a chiddush. You may want mutar lishloach aledein yudi. You're allowed to send that cholent through a Gentile. You may send something through a goy to a goy. So you can ask one goy to carry something on Yom Tov for another goy.
Directly. Why isn't it?
Because, and let's look at the example that the Shulchan Aruch carries on. Kegoin, example being, Shetzorich l'achzi mashkon, you've got collateral, you've got something you've got to return to the goy, lein yudi to the goy. Alom. Alom literally means strong. We're talking about a Gentile with power, authority. You don't want to be in his bad books. V'chadoyman is then similar to that. So you've got to return that item to him. Now today's a due date. You've got to return it. And if not, then ... Having said that, to be very specific, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Seif Katan Yud Dalet, Lenochi Alom, Afilu Les Beis Chashash Sakona. We're obviously not talking about Sakona. If there would be a danger, you'd have to do anything besides the three, you know, major averas. But for Sakona, you'll have to do anything. But here, it's not a level of Sakona. It goes without saying. It's not a Sakona level. It's a, how should we define it? If you've got this, you want to return this item to the goy, you'll have to send it through a goy, because otherwise what? You're not going to get killed. Oh, interesting, you mentioned the word Darkei Shalom. It's really interesting, because the Mishnah Berurah does mention that if you've got in Tezvav. So Darkei Shalom, how would you translate Darkei Shalom?
Friendly terms.
Peaceful relationships. Yeah. I like that. So that's. So people stretch that to a very large extent, and depends on what kind of circles. If different societies have got different understandings what Darkei Shalom is and how far you can stretch it. Some people go very far, some people less so. And the question over here is, what does this mean? I'm allowed to return this collateral now. So say I've got this item which belongs, I've got to return it now, it's a due date. I'm returning it because otherwise I'm going to be in his bad book. So what kind of person are we talking about in today's terms? Da'akei Shalom, or Einu Yehudi Alom, it's a powerful, authoritative kind of Gentile.
We're not talking about non-sakana.
Sakana goes without saying.
But not about sakana of Misa, but he'll come and
you know. So you're talking about I'm going to get. So there's a damage, a physical damage. Yeah. So I don't even know. It doesn't seem to go It seems to go on a lower level than that too. That even for Darkei Shalom. So the halacha lemaisa, what it means is that if you want to send through a goy on Yom Tov, something which ends up by the goy, it seems to be that even for Darkei Shalom, you'd be allowed to do that. So that's what Shulchan Aruch is teaching us over here. And that leads us to Sif Gimel. Lokach Eitz. A new topic. Lokach Eitz. Okay. What happens if you take a piece of wood? Lokach Eitz. A stick. Okay, Lokach Eitz. You took a stick. She'einoi miyuchet, which is not designated, lishput as a skewer. I was desperate suddenly for my roasted, barbecue thingy. I was really desperate for it. And in Yom Tov, as we know, can do that, no worries, no problem. So I don't have a skewer and a formal one. So I'm taking a little bit of an unconditional one, taking a stick from the floor, and I'm using that for my barbecue. Vitzola boy, and I roast it with this stick, boso, the meat. Also letaltole achkach. Once I've completed this action of roasting, and once I've gone through my barbecue, then also letaltole achkach. I've got this stick now. I may not carry it any further. Why not? Muktze, very good. So now we are, as you're saying, we're moving away. We're in this particular seif now is not addressing anymore the halachas we've been discussing so far. The halachas of carrying hoitza. We've finished that. We're now bringing a self-contained halacha with regards to muktze. That this stick that you have been using for your barbecue, and which was not a designated stick, you just took it, you literally picked it up. I used it for my roaster thingy, and I mustn't use it after that. Now that I've eaten my meat, what do I do with it? I chuck it. Yeah, if I would be using it again, I could. We're talking about that is full now. That's it. So also letaltol achkach, I'm not allowed to. I mustn't carry it around anymore. Why? She einoi kli. It is not a keli. It's not a utensil. Why is it not a kli? Because the way we're looking at it is that what? It's a stick which I use for roasting, but it's not a kli. It's not a skewer, in principle. What you meant to do is that you chuck it, you drop it, and you place it in a corner. I don't keep it in the wherever he's walking, you keep it on the side. That people shouldn't get hurt from it. Whether there is still a bit of meat left on the stick or there's no meat left on the stick, it doesn't make a difference. You drop it. You push it to the side and you ensure that nobody gets hurt from it. Remember, he must be pretty sharp because it was good enough, to put the meat in. So it must be pretty sharp, slightly dangerous, and therefore you're allowed to kick it onto the side of the walking area. Whether there is meat on it, no leftovers, doesn't make a difference. That's what you're meant to do. For the Tzorech Oichal Nefesh and the Ruach Ramo, it reminds us of Halacha we've learned previously, it's for the purpose of Oichal Nefesh, Mutar Letaltol HaKol, you're allowed to carry anything with Tzorech Oichal Nefesh, Afilu Muktzeh, even Muktzeh. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here reminds us of a very interesting Halacha. Why is it that this stick now, I'm allowed to place it, so I'm dropping it onto the thing, onto the paper, but I don't leave it just like where everybody walks, I'm pushing it onto the side. Why so? If it's mukta, it's mukta. And what is the heter to push this stick, which admittedly is a bit sharp, but what's the heter to push this stick to the side? Why?
Your foot.
Yeah. Why?
Safer.
Very good. That is the answer. So we have learned previously, and this is quite relevant. If anybody's ever seen a broken window or a broken... We're learning now. Let's see the Mishnah. K'deishul izoke b'rabim. This is in Sefkot Nchov Aleph. Shkidei shel Yizoyku vechayid alal siman shin ches. As we learned in siman shin ches, if you'd ches, in koitz bushos rabim. Okay, so there's a halacha there. A koitz, a thorn, which is in a public domain. Halacha tells us that you may push this thorn away from the public area, Rishus HaRabim, because people might get hurt. In fact, we all got an obligation towards a responsibility towards the public around us. Don't think, well, I have passed this narrow path safely. So, well, how do you say in French? Après nous le déluge, yeah? Isn't there such an expression? Après nous le déluge. Okay, so doesn't it, no? Isn't that such an expression? After me, deluge, I think. After me, there will be a, like flood. After me, the flood, kind of, you know? Après nous, le déluge. Yeah, check it out. I think so. So like, after me, the flood. Like, I walk past this and I'm fine now and, you know, it's fine. No. There is a halacha that if you see something which is potentially dangerous in a public domain, you have the obligation to, you know, make sure that nobody gets hurt. Therefore, though it is mukta, push it onto the side. Similarly here also, we've got this shpud, this ad hoc skewer, which I just used because I didn't have anything else. I just took a stick, sharp stick, I used that other thing. I'm finished eating now. Don't drop it onto the floor. Don't drop it on the floor. But, because people might get hurt from it, it must be quite sharp. Push it onto the side. And that's the Shulchan Aruch, and that's the halacha that we find in El Chashabas as well. If you've got a thorn, you have to push it aside. I use this halacha frequently. I mean, it's common application because, I don't know if you've ever seen a broken window, sharp items, you know, sometimes something smashes in your home. Has it ever happened? A glass smashes. Something onto the street, you know, if a... I remember that once in a Bismedish, a thingy, what's called a light, what are those called again? It got smashed in 1,000 pieces. It's dangerous. Not just for children. It doesn't have nothing to do with children being around. Nothing to do with it. Anybody's got to be dangerous. Anybody's got to be careful. It's dangerous for anybody. One of those pieces, Chalila gets into a, you know, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. So, therefore, this halacha, you may... Don't say it's mukta. It is mukta, but it doesn't matter. You're allowed, and you're meant to push it onto the side. You've got an obligation, a responsibility towards the public around you. And this is the halacha we're seeing over here. That if there is a dangerous item around, you must push it onto the side. And again, yeah.
In Hilcha Shabbos, I understand, if you've taken a davar mukta beheta,
yeah.
And now it's in my hand.
Yeah, you're allowed to hold it.
I can move it to where I want to in my hand.
Yes.
So why don't we say the same thing here?
Just in your hand.
Why do I have to drop it and then move it to the achayat to the side?
Once you let go of it,
I'll just push it. I'll put it on the side.
That's a good question.
You can. Once you're holding it, it's mutter. You finish using it, you're holding it, it's mutter.
But isn't it
let's look at Mishnah if cotton chav. You know, it's an interesting point what you're saying. Let's look at Yutess and chav. Yutess tells us as follows. It's not a kli. Through that, the fact that I'm using it as a roasting steak, loinas the kli, it doesn't become a kli. It's not become a kli just because I'm using it as such. But you drop it. You may not take it after roasting. Place it in its regular place. Yeah, regular way. Elo rather shomtoy maher. You drop it, begin of a tiltul minatzad, and you push it in an irregular way. Ad she'aviru milfonov until it is pushed aside in front of the carriage over to the corner. So you are asking a question that you're anyway allowed to because you're holding it. It's a good question. I do not.
Is it because it's a category of mukta that is more chamor?
Shive kelim.
You'll say once you put it down, why can't you pick it up?
No, picking up is for sure. So he's saying that if
while I've got it in my hand, I've been using it as a shpud. I've got it in my hand now. I know I've got to put it somewhere safe. So instead of dropping it and kicking it to the side, why don't I just put it on the side?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. We've got to think about this. Interesting, Shaila. Okay, to summarize what we learned this evening, we have learned so far the halacha that a carrying, whilst carrying is permitted, if it's a tzoyrech, it is, however, also to carry for a goy, even if it's a tzoyrech on nefesh. We also learned that if there's an element of fear, of pressure, of authority, you may send a goy to carry something to another goy. We also learned that if you're using a stick as a roasting skewer, after you've finished using it, it's not a kli, so it really should be mukta, you drop it onto the floor and you may push it onto the side to avoid public damage. And this is comparable to what we learned elsewhere, that whenever you want to avoid public damage, you may push it onto the side if it's mukta. We also learned that tzorech nefesh, you're allowed to be holding, pushing, moving mukta for the purpose of oichel nefesh. And having said this, we're all ready for the words of Stephen. I brings it. Okay, where is that? Which letter 28, is that? 28.
Can you hear me?
We can indeed. We can indeed. Okay, how should we do that? Everybody could see you.
Okay, so this is taken from the Sefer Zera Shimson. And it's from...
One second, can you all hear? Can you all hear Stephen?
Yeah,
they can all hear you. They can all hear you.
It doesn't matter if you can't.
No, we can all hear you well.
And this is taken from the Sefer Zera Shimson, written in the 1700s by Rabbi Shimson Chaim Nachmani, who was a great Italian scholar. And he talks on Bereshis, and it asks, why does the Torah begin with the letter A and not others? He says it begins with a bit of a base because it's the first letter of the word less in Brocha. And Zera Shimson queries this and says, in Tehillim it says, in 119, 160, it says that Rosh Devarach Emes, the very first utterance is Emes truth. According to this, it would have been better for the Torah to begin with the letter Aleph, which is the first letter of the word truth. However, he says the word emes is actually alluded in the final letters of the words of Ora Elohim Ace, which spell emes truth, the final letters of each one, Aleph, Mem, Tetov. We can read this pasuk as saying, Bereshis, in the beginning, the very first thing is emes, the final letters of the following three words. The Torah is stressing the concept of truth from the very beginning. That he still says, even so, it would be more appropriate for the Torah to begin with the letter Aleph, alluding to the word Emes. So why did Hashem decide not to do it with Aleph, but with Beis? The resumption says there's a Medresh, which says, use honest weights. If you do, you'll have the means to do business, because you will be blessed. The opposite is true. And that's in Vayikra Rabbah 15:7. So it is clear from this medrash that if a person lives his life with righteousness and truth, he will be blessed. If he chooses to do the opposite, Chas v'Shalom, he will experience the opposite. So we can understand why the Torah begins with the second letter, Beis. Beis alludes to Barakah, blessing. Blessings are not automatic. If somebody wants to receive the blessings of the Torah, so Beis alludes to Barakah, blessing. Blessings are not automatic. If a person wants to receive a blessings of Hashem, he must first be honest. So the Torah stresses the importance of MS right from the beginning. This is also emphasized where the Torah uses the word voracious, the letters of which can be rearranged to form the words bias and rosh. Rosh alludes to the words Rosh Devarach Emes, and Bais alludes to the letter Beis, which stands for Brocha, blessing. So it is clear that the Torah's first words, that truth and blessing, are internally connected, and that one who makes sure to speak the truth will undoubtedly merit blessing in his life. That's that on that. Just as an aside, I did hear a share on the Chabad website where they mentioned that the Aleph is the beginning letter of the word Oror, to curse. And if I understood it correctly, it may have been not appropriate to begin the word, the Torah with the word Aleph, because that's the beginning of the letter of the word Oror, to curse, whereas Beis is blessing.
Very nice. That's very nice thought. Shkayer, Stephen, very, very nice. Very good. So Beis for Brocha. And very nice. Thank you very much, Stephen. Very, very good. Yeah. Good. Very good. Shkayach. Wishing everybody a good Shabbos. Good Shabbos. And we'll resume Shem on Sunday. Good Shabbos to all.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
Shabbos. Yeah.